Patrick Costello is Deputy Director of Congress and U.S. Foreign Policy at the Council on Foreign Relations, and writing for CFR's Defense In-Depth blog about offsets. Patrick, thank you for joining me. You write that the Pentagon's new defense innovation initiative is also referred to as the third offset strategy, but you suggest there is another type of offset that defense companies, members of the defense industrial base, should be aware of. What is that offset and why is it important, Patrick? Thank you for coming on today.
Well, Francis, first, thank you very much. The offsets I refer to in my piece, which you can access on CFR.org, is offsets in defense trade. And offsets in defense trade encompass a range of industrial compensation arrangements required by foreign governments as a condition of the purchase of defense articles and services from non-domestic sources. Countries often demand these arrangements in order to gain economic benefits when they spend large parts of their government budgets buying defense kits from foreign suppliers. And the obligations can range from 15% to 100% of the value of the contract and can be either direct or indirect. Direct offsets are agreements that are directly related to the defense products being sold. Companies can agree to transfer relevant technological know-how or use local suppliers to build the equipment they are selling to the procuring government. For example, if the underlying contract involved is the sale of a fighter aircraft, a direct offset project could involve the manufacture of a portion of the plane, such as the wings or tail section. Indirect offsets are agreements that are not related to the defense products being sold, and they can include the supplier making investments in local industries and business relationships with non-defense sectors.
Patrick, you write that these offsets have gone up steadily since the 1970s, and you write, analysis suggests the offset market will double within the next 5 years, with much of this growth based on increased defense spending in the developing world. Now, at a time where defense spending in the United States and in Europe is declining, it strikes me that that's the nut of the reason why you're suggesting that the defense industrial base needs to pay attention here, because this is where their revenue growth is going to come from in the coming decade.
Well, Francis, you hit the nail right on the head there. As Western countries have scaled back their defense budgets, with ministries of defense in Europe downsizing their military operations procurement programs, and here in the U.S. we have the effects of the 2011 Budget Control Act and sequestration restricting defense spending through 2021 absent congressional action, many markets in Asia and the Middle East are investing heavily in defense modernization programs and increasing their defense spending. So where defense spending is generally rising, offsets are booming. And this poses a challenge for firms navigating the complex and frequently opaque offset requirements in each country, and they are increasingly sophisticated and their enforcement is becoming more rigorous. Now, the study I refer to in my post is actually put out by Avascent, a consultancy, and it's entitled The $500 Trillion Challenge. And they note a number of factors that are contributing to the growth of the offset markets and go into great detail regionally.
I want to step back here for a minute to the definition, Patrick, and make sure that I understand this, mm-hmm. because I think about partnerships that the United States enters with other countries. For example, there are a number of other countries that are going to buy F-35s.
Right.
How is that different than an offset, and what's the end result to the bottom line of the contractor that enters into one of these? How is that different because of the different business arrangement?
Well, I think it's important to note U.S. government policy on offsets. And I'm referring to the Defense Production Act amendments of 1992, which state that U.S. policy on offsets in defense trade is that the government considers offsets to be economically inefficient and trade distorting, and they actually prohibit any agency of the U.S. government from encouraging, entering directly into, or committing U.S. firms to offset arrangements in connection with the sale of defense articles or services with foreign governments. So, nevertheless, exports of defense articles are important to DoD as they help lower overhead costs, help sustain production facilities, workforce enterprise, and the supplier base to support current and future U.S. defense requirements. They also promote interoperability of defense systems and components between the U.S. and our friends and allies.
Patrick Costello of the Council on Foreign Relations, writing on the CFR.org blog Defense in Depth, under the title How Defense Offsets Help Drive the Global Defense Industry. And you write about some transparency concerns here, Patrick. What are those concerns, and why are they so concerning?
The transparency concerns are interesting. And, you know, critics of offsets maintain that the practice fosters corruption. I refer to a study in my piece by Transparency International, a group based out of the United Kingdom, and they cite potential graft by the procuring government. And in this report, they detail multiple examples as bribes claimed by offsets and high-ranking officials owning or working for the offset providing company. And on the defense company side, The Economist noted that firms have fought to have offsets classified as proprietary, so they don't have to disclose those obligations. And additionally, the opacity of offsets can raise Foreign Corrupt Practice Act concerns. And there are plenty of lawyers working on this, trying to advise their client companies, being the defense firms, on how to abide by all these regulations.
And those regulations seem to be something that I imagine the companies consider onerous. How do they view these offsets? Are they just a cost of doing business, or do they believe that they could make the same amount of money without them?
Defense firms are driven by two main imperatives. The first is profit, and the second is growth. And when you look at the landscape, where there is growth in the defense space is in these emerging markets in the Middle East and Asia. And those countries are increasingly employing very sophisticated offset programs as a condition of those sales. So it's not really an option.
You write about the path to reform, and you write the transparency concerns are significant, but both procuring countries and suppliers should acknowledge the broader economic development potential in fulfilling these offset obligations. Where are the countries and where are the suppliers missing that potential, and how could they maximize it?
And this is an idea that I've just been kicking around. I'd just like to cite a recent example just came out this week, was published in the Boston Globe, of Massachusetts-based Raytheon. They announced that they're going to invest $50 million over the next 7 years to establish a campus in Kuwait for the University of Massachusetts Lowell. I think that that's an innovative way to fulfill their offset requirements. Now, many of these companies are looking at fulfillment of their offset requirements on a case-by-case basis, and what I would actually like to see is a more concerted strategy in partnership with the defense firms and their foreign partners to really try and maximize that broader economic development aspect of fulfilling those offset requirements.
You write, employing such a strategy would assuage the concerns from defense companies that offsets can serve to create a peer competitor. Is that their number one concern in this landscape, Patrick, that they're actually contributing money to help one of their competitors get healthier?
Well, there are competitive risks. The long-term risk is increased competition from companies that may have gained capabilities through offsets. There are concerns from defense companies that offsets can indeed serve to create a peer competitor, where entities that were the benefactors of offset contracts in their infancy can gain technical and advanced manufacturing expertise and become players in the global market. One story to consider is Turkey's development of an indigenous defense industry. You know, over the course of two decades, the country adopted an offset policy that enabled intellectual property and technology transfers, established a single agency to supervise procurement and policy, and invested in R&D. Now more than half of Turkey's defense equipment is provided by local suppliers.
How much of the solution here will be locally based that each government makes on its own, and how much of it will be up to the companies wherever they're located around the world to be proactive and say, this is what we propose to fulfill this, so the social obligation that you're suggesting is met, while at the same time kind of trumping that idea of enabling competitors?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. I do think it's a little bit of both on the firms, defense firms side, as well as those procuring governments. Now, one thing that countries can do, each country has a different set of offset requirements. One thing they could do is apply multipliers to give extra credit to projects that they deem beneficial. As a result, defense companies may find their liabilities turn out to be less than their nominal obligations, and you could use, as in the case of Raytheon's investment in Kuwait, say that was given a multiplier of 3, that $50 million would count as $150 million in fulfilling their offset requirement.
Patrick, those are all the questions I have for you. I thank you very much for your time to explain this issue.
Francis, pleasure was mine.